Welcome to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For this episode, we rewatched Dark Matter, which is the second episode of season two of Dark, the 12th episode overall. And we will be talking about that in full detail through what we know through the end of season two. Of course, every episode of Digesting Dark, we are going through the show Dark one at a time, doing what our podcast title says. We are digesting it so that we can be prepared for season three, which comes out in less than 2 weeks on June 27th on Netflix. Season three, June 27th on Netflix. As always, I am joined by the pineapple to my Hawaiian toast. I'm Zach Brooks, joined by Aaron Brooks. Aaron, how are you?
Good. I thought I'd picked up on an Easter egg when they showed the pineapple can and it said Anana on it, but that turns out to just be what pineapple is in German. Oh. It's banana without the B. I thought maybe it was Clue of the alternate world where
pineapples are
pineapple? Yeah, pineapples are ananas. I don't know. But it turned out it's just German. How you doing?
Good. Pineapple toast sounds kind of good. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it's basically like Hawaiian pizza, but as toast.
Well, isn't it's called Hawaiian toast? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what they said in the.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you said pineapple toast, but it's Hawaiian toast. I think it's just pineapple and whipped cream. I assume.
I don't think it's whipped cream. I think it's ham, pineapple, and cheese. I think.
With cherries on top.
I think a cherry in the middle.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would try. I like Hawaiian pizza, so I would try that. I know pineapple on pizza is like the thing the internet loves to debate about, but I think it's fine.
Oh, yeah. I'll eat it.
All right. So we are going to get into the second episode of season two. This is Dark Matter. As always, we're going through each of these episodes leading up to the third season coming out. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes of Digesting Dark as we get through season two and then eventually season three in the final season, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, anywhere where you get your podcasts. You can look up Digesting Dark. We are also on YouTube, and just look up Digesting Dark on YouTube if you prefer to listen to your podcast through YouTube. And so keep sending us your feedback. We'll give our Twitter handles at the end of this show, but definitely either on the YouTube videos themselves, or you can tweet at us. Let us know what you think of Dark as you're going through it. If we have time, we're going to try to do a question and answer, like what we're looking forward to season three preview before the 27th, before the apocalypse happens. All right. Let's get into this episode. So, of course, the last episode ended. We had Jonas looking at the... I guess you call it the dark matter, the God particle in the future timeline. And we open with Claudia talking on a tape recorder all about the dark matter. It's a big Claudia episode, so it's great that we open with Claudia's voice. And she's talking about creating a portal and how the portal is self-sustaining. And there's a lot of monologue about the portal. She also mentions that the portal is all three phases, solid, liquid, and gas, all at the same time. And we see Jonas trying to get the portal working. He's flipping some switches, and he gets it almost close to stable where it's all black instead of looking like a messy brain, and then it just shuts down. So Jonas is getting close.
Yeah, she mentions how it's consistent with the principles of conservation of energy, but yet contradicts the second law of thermodynamics. So says the matter seems to exist independent of external temperatures.
Yep.
And as a solid, liquid, and gas, as you said. Jonas is looking at an instruction manual the whole time. They don't really show what's on it, but he clearly keeps looking at it. It kind of reminds me of the maps with the stranger, yet whoever set up these manuals is kind of leading Jonas along almost.
Right. And it's, so. I mean, I'm assuming it's Claudia who we're seeing, who has gotten these things together. And, we get a lot more about Claudia later on, but, Jonas is just trying to, it seems like he's spent these 6 months that he's been in 2053 trying to, learn more about, what actually happened, the apocalypse. And he's convinced that he needs to go through this portal to change what happened in the past.
Yeah, and the last thing that I noted that you mentioned is that the molecules are constantly rearranging in a cyclical pattern.
Mm.
Or a cyclical process.
Like a cycle.
Yeah, so.
All right, so then we flash into some other timelines. We get to see a lot of the stuff we didn't see in the first episode of the season, so we're getting more in the 80s in this episode as well. And it is June 22nd. Says 5 days from the apocalypse. Of course, it's interesting that it says this because it's June 22nd in 1987, but 5 days from the apocalypse in 2020. Mm-hmm. And we get Mikkel waking up in the room that we know is Jonas's room, waking up from a nightmare, just like we've seen Jonas do a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We don't see what Mikkel's nightmare was, but we know he kind of wakes up in a panic. And we see that room. It's got a bunch of 80s stuff all over. I saw a Goonies poster. There were some comic books as well. And it was interesting to see this house, but the 80s version of this house. And of course we will get Hannah seeing this house from the outside later on in the episode too.
Yep.
So, and Mikkel talks to Innes a little bit and he mentions that it's his mother's birthday, which I was getting confused and I wrote down, oh, it's Hannah's birthday. And then realized, oh no, never mind. It's Katarina's birthday.
Yeah. Right? Did you notice how bright the colors were?
I did write that down, especially in terms of what Claudia is wearing, but I didn't notice the bright colors in this scene.
Yeah, I mean, even he's wearing like a bright red, like, or white top that has ping pong rackets and like tennis rackets, probably symbolizing how Mikkel goes back and forth from whether he's Mikkel or Mikkel and where he should be, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something like that. But Innes is, I think, wearing like bright blue in this scene. Like a bright teal.
Yeah,
like
definitely everybody's not. We weren't really getting like yellow bright. And orange. Yeah, we weren't getting yellow and orange during this.
It's colorful though. It's really colorful. And maybe it's just like the 80s were colorful. But
yeah, it looks like the 80s, but like a very clean version of the 80s.
Yeah, it's like really clean. Yeah. Mikkel says it's his mom's birthday. So
Innes says that there's 1 week of school left before vacation, I believe. But I was confused because it almost seemed like it was Mikkel's first day at school. Which wouldn't make sense since it is June.
Yeah. So maybe I'm not sure.
Yeah. Cause we were talking about how it's weird that school starts school in November and maybe that's just something they do in Germany, but I guess it is just 1 week of school left. So, you know, the last day of school is going to coincide probably with close to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And Innes, you know, Mikkel is clearly upset about especially what day it is. And Innes is telling him the past is the past and now is now, which seems like a very good line that indicates what this show is all about.
Yeah, I agree.
But she doesn't actually know that he's a time traveler. He's this future boy. Even though he goes by Mikkel and eventually will change his name to Mikkel, she probably has her suspicions, but she doesn't actually get this confirmed until she reads the letter after he dies in the future.
Not completely, but she admits she kind of knew.
Yeah. Like, it's one of the things she knew, but she just was in denial about it.
And it's like the first thing he says is he's from the future, I think, is what he says to her. But again, you know, not supposed to believe that.
Yeah. So then that same morning, we then see the Tiedemann household, and Claudia is yelling at Regina to get ready for school. And this is where I noted that Claudia was in bright pink.
Yep.
Egon is also over there, and he's talking to Claudia. Gretchen, the dog, runs out of the bedroom, and Egon picks up Gretchen, and he seems surprised. He says, oh, this dog looks so much like Gretchen, and seems very confused. Mm-hmm. I was confused. Claudia's had this dog for 6 months. Has Egon not been there in 6 months and seen that she has a dog?
I think that's how not close they are, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. That.
Yeah. Everything had like a very pale yellow hue to it in this scene.
It's usually I'm picking up on the colors. I really didn't pick up on much colors.
Yeah, it really seems like it was like almost on like the set of a Wes Anderson movie or something.
Yeah, I can see that, especially what like Mikkel wears.
It was very yellow. The French delegation is visiting.
Yeah.
And the French, again, there was a guy speaking French who got hung last episode by Elizabeth.
Oh, good point. Yes.
So maybe that's the delegation still trying to make that meeting, and she's finally just sick of them.
Yeah, well, they
you've been hassling me for 60 years.
Right, so the French delegation went into the
dead zone.
Dead zone. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So maybe. And while we're on the subject of Gretchen, I think we asked this maybe off podcast, but we're like, so if Gretchen ran into the cave, how did she get through the cave? Mm-hmm. And there'd have to be someone in the cave to take Gretchen, to set up Gretchen to see younger Claudia so that Claudia would believe in time travel.
Right.
And who would do that? I think that's pretty clearly older Claudia.
Well, she kind of admits that in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I kind of came to that realization before the admitting of it, though.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. So, like, it's just something that I don't know why I didn't come to it until it was revealed as who would have,
I guess,
is why.
I had forgotten.
That's why I'm mentioning.
Yeah.
Because I had forgotten she admitted it.
Yeah, she admits it in this, and I had forgotten that too. And I think, you know, a couple episodes ago when we were talking about Gretchen, we're like, how does a dog get all the way through that maze of the caves?
And we just were like, yeah, whatever. We didn't think anything of it, but obviously there was a person.
Right. The white devil version of Claudia is the one who probably called Gretchen. Gretchen remembers Claudia.
Because we see her go up to her later too.
Right, exactly. Because she says it's her dog. So there's a lot with Gretchen being the connective thread between the two different timelines of Claudia.
Yeah, so maybe the world can exist if you get rid of Gretchen and Jonas.
Maybe. I still think too, it's you know, and maybe we find out this later, but you know, just like it's hard for Gretchen to go through the caves by herself, I do think it's hard for Mikkel to go through the caves by himself. So was somebody leading Mikkel through the caves?
Good point. Maybe Michael.
Yeah. I mean, because even like the adults, it's like how much they have to go through the door and they have to crawl. It's like just some kid who gets scared. Like, why would he run through the caves and do all of this work to get through? Maybe it was Noah who led him through or Michael. Yeah. Well, no, I guess it couldn't be Michael. But
yeah. And then also I noticed that playing in the background of the scene with the Tiedemanns, not to jump around too much, but as Regina's getting ready to go, is It's Never Going to Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Yep, so. They are getting Rickrolled, I wrote that.
Yeah. And then of course they share the moment where Claudia like tries to get her to skip school and she's just like, what are you doing? Like, they just clearly don't have a relationship, Claudia and Regina.
And Egon is trying to tell Claudia something and she just doesn't seem to have time for it. And it is that Egon has cancer, which we find out later. And we speculated about that, and then Ulrich also kind of mentioned that in the finale of season one. So Egon wants to share this information with Claudia, and Claudia is not going to have a chance to.
Krebs.
Yeah,
it's one of the only German words I've learned during this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what cancer is. Krebs.
Ah, yes. Yeah, there's random words that I'll understand. Also because I know French, I don't know French, but I took French in high school, so like there's words that are close between French and German, so sometimes I'll hear a word that is a similar word. I think ananas, which was pineapple, is also that in French. So all right, then we get Charlotte. She is looking at the Sigmunda's cast photo. I think you also call it like the photo from the end of The Shining. Or the alumni photo, Sigmunda's alumni photo. It's similar actually to the class photo that we see Mikkel in as well. It's like a similar setup where it's a bunch of people standing and not looking very happy. You know what's interesting? I wonder if you put those side by side, that Mikkel class photo and the Sigmunda's photo, I wonder if you could pair up Mikkel with somebody in that photo. Like, is Mikkel in the same spot in the class photo as Adam is in the Sigmunda's photo?
Huh, maybe.
I mean, I don't think Mikkel is Adam unless it's like alternate universe Mikkel is Adam, but.
Yeah, I don't either, but. Yeah.
Then she starts looking up things on Loomer.com, which I don't know if that's a real website, but I noticed that that's where she was. Clausen comes in and he's asking about interviewing Regina, which I think it's weird that they want to interview Regina. I guess it's just because somehow they know that Ulrich visited Regina. And I do believe we find out something about Clausen and Alexander, that they're somehow connected. We get that later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So on the wall, I noticed too that, so Ulrich disappeared on November 9th, 2019, which is 11/9/19. But in other countries, they write the day first and then the month. So it's written on the wall as him disappearing on 9/1/1/19, which of course is a palindrome, just like Hannah. So 9/1/1/19 reversed is the same number. So just might be a nice touch, but I thought that was something to point out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
And Clausen brings up the same thing that we brought up about how Alex took the Tiedemann name instead of keeping his own last name. So Clausen is, you know, he's not very progressive. He doesn't like the husband taking the wife's name.
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks that's very weird. And Charlotte says right away she doesn't think it's weird.
Yeah. Do you think there's any connection between Clausen and Claudia having such similar names? Clausen is C-L-A-U-S and Claudia is C-L-A-U-D.
No, I've always thought of Santa Claus in some way, but I don't know how.
Oh, I always think of Clausen Pickles, even though it's spelled differently.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, though. I think that name's really strange, but maybe it's just a German name.
Yeah, he reminds me of, like, a character, I don't know, like a character from Fargo or something.
Kind of reminds me of Fred Armisen.
Yeah. So he's I can't remember exactly what happens with Clausen. I know he ends up leading to them drilling down into the nuclear waste, which creates the portal, but I can't remember what all is his backstory and even if he survives this season.
Yeah.
So, we'll find out when we get there. And then we get to the Doppler household with the kids. So Elizabeth is still looking at that same globe image with the two gods blowing on the world.
Don't really know what that is.
No, it's, I think, I mean, you could probably look at it as like the force of good and the force of evil, both trying to exert their will on the world is kind of what I see that as.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth's been staring at it for a while. And we get a scene between Franziska and Magnus, Magnus confronts Franziska about what he saw the previous day with her getting the money out of the box, which she was trading to Bernadette for something. And he gets mad at her. He thinks that she's been whoring herself out, and she's not been whoring herself out. She has been giving hormone drugs to Bernadette. So,
yep.
And it turns out that Peter used to pay for his visits to Bernadette with writing prescriptions for hormone drugs for her. So it's Franziska is continuing to pay Bernadette, even though her father can no longer go and see him, I guess.
Yeah, so she gets pretty upset about the accusations right away. She says that everybody projects in this town. That's what Francesca says to Magnus.
It brings up secrets as well when she's talking about that. Yeah. So, she brings up secrets. And actually, I noticed that we got secrets a couple times in this episode. Secrets brought up. So I thought that was really good to get to hear that. And, you know, we of course had an episode titled Secrets in season one. So secrets play a big role in the town of Winden, obviously. Secrets between people's pasts, secrets between people's futures. And anything else from this scene at the Doppler household that you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that we see Charlotte, we see Franziska and Magnus really upset with each other at this point. But I think at the end of the next episode, we're going to see the two of them, their future versions, together. Now, they don't look very happy as part of Secmundus, but we do know that, you know, they will get past this squabble that they have between them. And I still can't really remember what role Bernadette is going to play besides being related to Waller. And maybe there's not even a role in season two. Maybe that's something that'll be coming in season three. But it seems like everything is so important in this show to have a storyline revolving around getting hormones to Bernadette. It seems like there must be more to it than that.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So maybe it was Waller. Maybe it was that Clausen is investigating Waller, and that's why he's there. I'll have to pay attention to what exactly Clausen is doing this season. All right, so then we're staying in the 2020 timeline, and we see Hannah and the Stranger. He's showing her the time machine and explaining that it lets you travel 33 years. So the machine does not let you, like, select where you're going or anything like that. It's just like the portal where you can go 33 years either forward or 33 years backwards from where you are.
Yep. Hannah's in red.
Oh, Hannah's in red. Nice. The Stranger brings up that secrets are what is behind everything going on in Winden. So I think that was where I really noted that, like, oh, we have two scenes back to back where people are bringing up secrets. And the Stranger is alluding to that he wants to share Dad's secret with Hannah.
Maybe, or maybe the secret was the time machine. Maybe that's the secret he was supposed to keep from Hannah.
Oh, could be.
And because maybe that really is what really creates the problem, is by him having to show Hannah the secret. Like, yeah, I don't know. There's so many different secrets that.
Well, by showing Hannah the time machine, he's introducing Hannah to where she's going to end up in the 50s. And, you know, if Hannah ends up being this really important character, is like shown by her name being a palindrome, you know, maybe it's that it's not that Jonas is the problem. It's that Hannah is actually the problem. And Jonas introduces her to this problem.
Yep.
So then we go back to the 80s again. We've got this back at the school. There's not really much going on at the school, but we do see Katarina like barrel through her son that she doesn't know is her son, Mikkel, and kind of give him a little bit of shit. And Hannah looks back, and Hannah and Mikkel kind of connect. And this is where I wrote down, like, is this Mikkel's first day at school? Like, haven't these people seen each other before? He's been there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we get to the power plant, and we get some really good stuff between Claudia and Claudia. Of course, older Claudia, the white devil, as she will become to known in this season, and the pink lady, I guess we can call her. She's in all these bright colors, the younger version of Claudia. And we get the reveal about Gretchen, that Gretchen is the dog that travels to the future through the portal, or through the caves. And older Claudia says how she guided Gretchen through the caves at this point.
Yep. So theory confirmed.
Yes. Nice done. Nicely done. I also thought that it was interesting on this, that when we first saw 80s Claudia see Gretchen, I just assumed that she knew that this was the same dog and it was time traveling. Apparently she just saw it was a dog that looked like Gretchen. But kind of like Ines not accepting the truth about Mikkel, even though she kind of suspects it. I guess that's basically what happened with Claudia. Because why would she think this is the same dog in time travel? She doesn't know time travel exists at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think it's exactly the same thing where it's like the truth is right in our faces and we still can't acknowledge it,
right,
type of thing. So, I mean, like, once again, she knew, just doesn't want to admit it.
Right. Yeah, and I just thought that was like a very interesting.
Same with Hannah.
Yeah, because I just didn't even put that together when she found Gretchen. I was just like, oh, cool. She's like figured out that this is her dog.
It's like Hannah and Mikkel or Mikkel. Yeah. Like she knows.
Or Ulrich in the body of Mads, right? Like Ulrich saw this kid, and there were things that reminded him of Mads, and he didn't want to believe it until he was like forced to confront the truth.
And I still think that the name Mads is for a reason. Like, that's such a deliberate name.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, I agree. It's a weird name, and especially, like, the connection between Mads and Mikkel. Like, we keep confused, you know, especially early on, we were calling Mikkel Mads at times and things like that, so.
Yeah, so who Mads really is key.
I mean, the fact that there are so many M names in that family is just, there's Mads, there's Mikkel, there's Magnus, there's Martha, so.
I mean, it could be as simple as it's a play, they're all mad. Like a play on that,
except I don't know if mad is mad in German.
Maybe it was for us Americans, you know, a little American Easter.
No, maybe, yes, could be like the song lyrics that are in English.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, then we get Egon. He's getting a phone call, and he's getting more bad news about his cancer. They focused a lot on his rotary phone, and I paused it to try to see if there was like an interesting number written in the middle, but. I didn't think there was. I guess they were just trying to really highlight that, like, hey, this is not 2020 because he's using a rotary phone.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a rotary phone?
Once or twice.
Yeah. I think I have. I mean, not in a long time, but it's kind of dialing on a rotary phone is kind of fun. It takes a very long time, though.
I always think of Cruella de Vil.
Oh, interesting.
There's a very big rotary phone scene in that movie.
If you screw up on a rotary phone, like if you get six numbers in and then you screw up the sixth number, you have to hang up and start all over again. And you have to like hit the wheel and let it spin back. It's a cool way to dial. I don't know who came up with it, but I like rotary phones. I like
the circular.
Oh, yes. It's a circle. It's a loop. The rotary phone is a loop. And yes.
Rotary phone paradox.
Egon also, I noticed, has a lot of news clippings on his wall, much like other characters in this show. It looked like, I didn't pause it, but it looked like one of the news clippings was about the sheep and another was about Mads as well.
Yep, I think so.
And Egon, we find out that Egon has retired at this point. He's no longer a police officer, so within those last 6 months he retired. But he's still interested in the disappearance of Mads and some of the weird things that have gone on in Winden. And he can't resist looking at his old police notebook, which we did see in the last season as well. And he never completed that line about why did Helge not go through the forest road? Why did he not take the forest road home the night that Mads disappeared? So he's going to go and visit Helge. But before we get there, we do get Claudia and Claudia once again. And older Claudia is explaining to younger Claudia, much like we got with Jonas and the Stranger, about how she's the older version of her. She tells younger Claudia to go to the window and explains to her about her colleague who's going to drop a pen to make the secretary bend over in front of him. And this is when older Claudia explains that she guided Gretchen through the cave, that that she needed that to happen so that younger Claudia would believe in time travel.
Yep. Yeah, I did also note this is exactly like the Stranger with Jonas.
Yeah.
So they definitely really mirror each other
here. Do we have any other examples of characters talking to the future version of themselves in this show?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we get Adam and Jonas. I think in the next episode we're going to get that scene. And I guess that's it. Yeah, so we get the Adam and Jonas slash the Stranger.
Well, Noah and Bartos, but they're not the same person.
They're not the same that we know of. But we might get Bartos and somebody else that are the same. It'll be interesting to track if we get – because I do think it's really fun to watch characters interact with another version of themselves. It's too bad we never get Egon.
I think any characters that we see doing that, we can say it's safe to say don't belong in this world, because that's impossible in this world. So if it happens, it may remove them from being possible.
Because they are forming a loop, right? Because if they never survive to be older, they can't influence.
Doesn't Michael run into Mikkel? Like, obviously, they live amongst each other.
Oh, you just mean like in general? Did that ever happen?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point they did.
Well, and that's so we're only a couple episodes away from the episode the day before Michael kills himself,
which I really don't remember well.
So. Right, so it'll be good. I know we get a lot of stuff at the lake there, but there's a anniversary party for Katarina and Ulrich in that episode. Yep. And Hannah goes to it, and I believe Michael like makes up an excuse not to go. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if he always does that to avoid going to that house. But it is weird that, like, you know, Mikkel's, what, like 12 years old? So it was 12 years of Michael having to avoid his childhood version of himself.
Yeah, so, I mean, just something to kind of keep an eye on. I mean, maybe Katarina goes back at some point and sees herself. And, I mean, everybody just slowly is removing themselves from belonging in this world by inadvertently trapping.
Yeah, I was thinking from a production standpoint with the Mikkel character, like this season between season two and season one works because it takes place 6 months later. So like, of course, Mikkel would look a little bit older and Elizabeth look a little bit older because especially how kids age. But when we start season three, I'm not sure. I mean, hopefully they just got some footage early on because Mikkel's going to be a year older, but that's only supposed to take place like the very next day unless we get another time jump.
Yeah, I think we could.
Yeah, we could. I think we're assuming that it all takes place on June 27th of the year, like one day after this season ends, but we guess we don't know that for sure.
No.
So that's the Walt Lloyd problem with Lost. Walt was the kid on Lost, and he was growing faster in the timeline on Lost, so they couldn't keep him on the show, because otherwise he was going to be like way older playing a character like a couple days later. So it's a problem with kid actors that you run into.
Yeah, I anticipate if they did have a lot to do with the kids, they've already filmed a lot of it before this season was filmed even, maybe.
Yeah.
So
I'm just glad that they were so ahead of everything. So, like, with the coronavirus shutdown and everything, that didn't affect this show coming out on the apocalypse date. It would have been tragic.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank time.
Yeah. Father time, yes. HG. Future Jonas, now we go back to 2053. We've got Future Jonas. He's playing music over a loudspeaker to distract the, I don't know if you want to call them, like the militia of people led by Scarface.
It's Suspicious Minds by Elvis.
Yes, good song. I didn't know the name of the song, but I've heard the song before. So I thought it was interesting. We hear two songs in this episode. We hear Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Go. And the Elvis song is, the lines are about being caught in a trap and I love you too much, baby.
Yeah. And just Suspicious Minds in general is a pretty apt title for people of Linden. Also later when Enos is making Hawaiian toast or whatever it is, toast Hawaii, whatever it's called.
Yep.
Hawaiian toast. She brings up how her father used to eat it and dance to Elvis.
Yep, I know. I noticed that too. So we get two references to Elvis. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just I don't actually know that because that was the 80s when that was mentioned. So it's definitely for a reason.
Yeah. But Elvis was big in the 50s, so maybe we're going to get some. Because Enos mentions her father, and we do see young Enos in the 50s timeline.
Could Enos's father be Jonas?
Or Elvis? Yeah, it could be Jonas. Yeah, I don't think we know who Enos's father is yet. So
yeah.
I think that, that is one of those blank spots that needs to be filled in. So yeah, I thought it was interesting the way he like rigs up the loudspeaker. He has like an old Discman. It's like, where did he find an old Discman? I mean, even from 2019, where would you find an old Discman or 2020?
Yeah.
And he used that to siphon gas. Like, he uses the distraction to siphon gas out of their tank. Apparently he figured out that the gas is what he needs to get the machine running in the dead zone.
Yeah. It was probably in the manual.
True. Yep. So then we, from 2053, we go back to 2020. We've got, we do not go to 2020. We go to 1987, and we get young Regina and young Alex. They have clearly started falling in love. They're sitting in the forest and they are talking about ghosts. Mm-hmm. I thought this was very interesting. Alexander tells Regina that you've got your mom's best features. So Alexander, I guess he works with Claudia, but we did think that it was weird how Alexander went immediately to go talk to Claudia to work with her. So I think that there is some backstory between Alexander and Claudia that we have not yet been privy to.
Yeah, and then Regina talks about demons inherited from parents and passed on.
Which is definitely a theme of the
dark show. And then says dark stuff.
Oh, dark stuff, like dark matter.
Yep.
And also the dark show stuff. Dark. Yeah, that too. And I noted that Regina, the teenage Regina, looks completely different than she did in season one.
Yeah.
She have that curly hair. She's like done herself up and taken care of herself. I guess that's just that she has a boyfriend now and has more confidence. But I mean, it almost could be like a different actress. It doesn't even look like the same person.
And the way they're sitting, maybe it's just like how like teens sitting in love, but they're sitting like intertwined. Really kind of in an odd way.
Yeah.
But it could just be them, you know.
Yeah, I think it might just be that they're in love, much like other characters on this show. But, you know, they could be forming like a Sic Mundus logo. Maybe you can map that triangle onto them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'm just looking for things.
So then we go from 80s Regina to 2020 Regina. She's being interviewed by Clausen about being the last person to see Ulrich before he disappears, and she's talking about how she had we know is the stranger. She says he is like a homeless looking guy basically with a scraggly beard who asked her, who was the last person to stay at the hotel, and asked her to deliver a package to Jonas. And we also see that she has a box sitting in front of her, and I wrote down what's in the box. Of course, they open the box and we see all the stuff that was on the wall of the stranger's room, which Regina has taken down. As Charlotte is looking in it, she sees some things that are interesting, including like all of the very blatant imagery about time travel, which we kind of made fun of in season one. Still kind of making fun of it. But there are photocopies of HG's book. And this seems to really set off alarm bells for Charlotte. And she's like, runs out of there and says she has to leave. Very suspicious.
Yep. And also, again, Clausen asks about why the name was, Alexander took the name. And Regina really quickly says she doesn't think it's weird.
Right. Well, and is like, it's not your business, which, I can see that. Like, they have plenty of reasons. And I do think we actually find out why. I think there is a reason for it that's not like anything weird, but maybe not. We definitely get more about Alexander in this season, and I'm forgetting a lot of it.
So. Yeah.
That's why we're doing this rewatch. Then we go to the caves and we have Jonas and Hannah in the caves. They are going to travel with the machine. It's interesting because we're still seeing Ulrich's phone being used to power the machine. I guess that's just like a vital. That's like the plutonium to power the time machine, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Hannah probably sees that phone and is like, oh, it's a picture of Ulrich's family that he's using. It's got to be kind of weird for her, considering her connection with Ulrich. And as they're about to travel, we see Mikkel in the woods, and Mikkel is confronted by Noah. And I was trying to remember if Mikkel and Noah had had any scenes together, and of course, they answered that question for me when they talked about how Mikkel remembered Noah coming to the hospital to see him. Noah very suspiciously eating an apple, cutting it with a knife. It made me want to eat an apple, actually, I'll be honest.
Hmm.
I don't know. I feel like when I see people eat apples on TV, I'm like, oh, I should go eat an apple. That's a good idea. Between an apple and the Hawaiian toast, lots of food in this episode.
Yeah, very foodie episode.
Yeah. So, you know, they're talking about, you know, Noah's asking Mikkel if he should be at school, and Noah warns Mikkel. He says, don't go into the caves. Bad things happen in the caves. And says, sometimes we don't know where we should be going.
Yep.
And they talk about God's plan. What do you think do you think there's any significance to like Noah eating an apple during this scene? Do you think it's just supposed to be like a biblical reference to the apple from Adam and Eve?
Like the forbidden fruit. Maybe.
Right.
I think so. And he's like kind of like the snake.
Yeah.
Mikkel asks, what if God is wrong? Mm. Noah says God is never wrong. Sometimes we need faith in things will get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of a little bit of a, just, you know, mysterious kind of talk.
And during the scene, I was actually expecting that Jonas and Hannah were going to walk out and see Mikkel, because I couldn't remember exactly what happened, but apparently, like, they just didn't cross paths.
Yeah.
So, then, staying in the 80s, we have Helge. We see the pine toys, so we know we're about to get some Helge. Helge now is in the hospital.
Yep.
Seems like he's been in there for 6 months after his car accident. And he's meeting with Egon, and Egon is still asking him questions about this. He's still trying to get to the bottom of the information he couldn't get 6 months ago from Helge. And Helge remembers the man with the stone. He said he could change it all. He said he could change the future. Nobody can change it, not even the White Devil.
Yep.
So this is the first reference we get to the White Devil, I believe. Egon's going to start getting obsessed with who the White Devil is, not realizing the White Devil is his daughter, an older version of his daughter.
Yeah.
Probably a version of his daughter that's exactly the same age as he is, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it was interesting to see Egon. He looks like he's losing it even more than he was earlier in the last season. And we're seeing him well on his way to being this older version of himself. No Peter, no child Peter at this point. And I believe that Peter should be there now. I think he said 1987 was when he came into Winden.
Yep.
So, I guess it could be that we get child Peter in season 3, and he comes after whatever happens on the apocalypse, and he comes into the 87 Winden. Because we definitely have to get some closure on Peter. How did Peter end up getting under Helge's care? It's very strange. Like, I mean, this guy, Helge, that we're seeing, like, he is in no shape to be raising a child.
Yeah. I agree.
So how do we get there? And then we see Claudia. She is showing younger Claudia the liquid. She has the machine, and she talks about how you must stop Adam. No matter what, you have to stop Adam. Of course, younger Claudia has no idea who Adam is or what that even means. Older Claudia gives her a map. I thought this was the blueprints of the machine, but it's actually a map of Claudia's yard, which we'll see later on. And warns her that you don't have much time with Regina, but if this works, she will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's referencing Regina's cancer in the future. Of course, when we saw Regina, she has like a head wrap. She has no hair anymore. So her cancer is progressing and not looking good, obviously. Claudia will have lost both a daughter and a father she doesn't lose her father to cancer, but in trying to prevent him from dying with cancer. She loses him.
So, yep.
So we're seeing, you know, I'm trying to track the machines, right? So we see the stranger with the machine and we see Claudia with the machine. And so at some point, either the stranger needs to give Claudia the machine or Claudia needs to give the stranger the machine. Is that what you bet your take on?
Or at least see the or at least find the blueprints to a machine to go be able to go make a new one.
Oh, so you think there might be two machines?
Well, the blueprint, there's one, but the blueprint is Claudia takes the blueprint to show HG how to make the machine.
Right.
So there could be two occurrences of the machine being made.
And there could be two versions of the machine also, because this machine, Claudia, doesn't seem like she's using a cell phone to use the machine. It seems like she's using this liquid to use the machine. Whereas the stranger is using Ulrich's cell phone to power the machine, and we don't see him using any of this liquid.
Well, the liquid is cesium, isn't it?
Yeah, but we don't see him using that. Like, we see the machine working twice in this episode. One time we see somebody inserting the liquid, and one time we see somebody using a cell phone. So maybe the machine evolves from needing the cell phone to using liquid. I'm not quite sure, but it does seem like it has changed between the two different machines.
I don't know.
Then we go all the way to the future. We go to the 2053 timeline. We see Jonas trying to sneak back to the dark, the dead zone, and he is caught by Scarface and Elizabeth.
Well, just before we go on, I had a few things about like Charlotte talking to Peter and a few other things.
That I just noticed. So I think we just see him get caught, and then we see Charlotte driving with the book, and she calls Peter. So.
Yeah, about the stranger having the drawings from HG's book.
So she calls Peter, and she's worried about these pictures that they found him, and Charlotte wants to know why did the stranger have these photos from the book. So were some of the things that you found?
Yeah, Peter said he was crazy, but he was right. Charlotte wondering why HG had a photo of Sigmundus.
Yep.
Yeah, and never revealed who her parents were. Obviously, we know who her parents are.
Right, it's going to be Noah and her daughter, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Elizabeth is about to, let's see. And then, Elizabeth is about to hang Jimenez, so then we're in the future. But just those things, I noticed Peter was in blue for the first time. I don't know what that means again, but and characters seem to be really empathetic when they're in blue.
That's interesting.
Maybe I'm looking for that.
No, that could be. We don't really know what blue represents in this show. If we're thinking about the rainbow in terms of yellow being the third color, blue is closer to the center of the rainbow, especially if we're talking about indigo. So, I also noticed in this, she talks about her parents, and you brought up to the characters who meet themselves, right? Like we have Claudia and Claudia, we have Jonas meeting Jonas multiple times. You could really look at Charlotte as being another one of these characters who doesn't belong, given that her daughter is her mother. So that's another paradox. It's just not possible. And maybe we're going to get paradoxes for every character where everybody's some kind of cycle and nobody belongs.
And that's what I kind of see coming.
Yeah. So we go back to the future now. Jonas has been caught. He's going to be hanged. Elizabeth, future Elizabeth, is signing to him that you must know the rules. There is, and he yells out that there is no passage and that paradise is a lie. I do feel like we got reference to passage and paradise in the last episode. Was that in the cold open with Sigmundus where they're talking about the passage and paradise?
Yeah, older Bartos talking to Noah.
Yeah, potentially older Bartos. Well, we think is older Bartos, but we don't know.
Sure looks like older Bartos.
Sure does. And Jonas says that he needs to get back to his time because in 5 days everyone will die, which obviously is what leads to this post-apocalyptic world that he's in.
Yep.
And so Jonas is hanging, but before he can hang to death, Elizabeth shoots the rope and saves him for whatever reason. She didn't do that for the French person. She doesn't seem to have been doing that for all the people who are hanging in the forest, but she does do it for Jonas because I don't know if it's probably that she remembers who Jonas is from when she was a kid, or maybe she knows more than we realize.
Yeah, and then the interpreter just kind of stares at her, so she's not in on it.
Right, and it could just be that Elizabeth remembers the apocalypse and knows what happens, and Jonas is talking about going back in time and stopping the apocalypse, and maybe that she just believes him.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I keep calling the interpreter Scarface. We don't really know much about her except that she has a scar on her face and kind of looks like the girl who plays Juno, Ellen Page.
I think she looks like Martha. She definitely looks like she's related to Martha.
Really? Maybe like Martha's daughter. But she's the same age or younger than Martha. So I don't think.
I'm not saying she is. Yeah. I'm just saying she looks like she's related to her.
Well, speaking of people who look like members of Martha's family, in the next scene, we get Egon, and he is going to ask about the man he arrested in the 50s. That was Ulrich. And he goes and visits Ulrich in a mental hospital. The lady at the front desk says that they refer to Ulrich as the inspector, which is interesting because he probably spent a ton of time telling them how in 2019 he is a detective and he's an inspector. And so they gave him that nickname. Ulrich is in room K53, which if you add 5 and 3, you get an 8, which is an infinity symbol. Maybe that was the reason for that.
And is K the 8th letter in the alphabet? I don't know.
Let's count. 11th letter. It's 11th letter in the alphabet.
Nope. So 3 away from 8.
Yeah. 11 plus 8 is 19. I don't know. Nothing.
So everything's connected.
Yeah. She says it'll be nice for him to get a face-to-face visitor because he does not get many visitors. Probably his last visitor is going to be Hannah in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And when Egon sees Ulrich, so we get pointed to the man with the gray hair. I think you could definitely parallel older Ulrich with the gray hair to the White Devil with her long white hair.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Egon says that he wants some of your time. So I thought that was an interesting way to phrase it. I want some of your time.
Yeah, I noted that.
And Ulrich repeats the line in English from the death metal song, "My only aim is to take many lives. The more I take, the better I feel." Again, Egon feels like he's getting like deja vu with that song, but he's not sure why. We know that you pointed out that he heard it in Ulrich's room when he goes to arrest teenage Ulrich, or he goes into the house with teenage Ulrich. And he also hears it in the 50s when he originally arrested Egon, or when Egon originally arrested Ulrich. For the first time in the 50s.
Yeah, Egon says, "What the hell does it mean?" Ulrich says, "It means that he's still a fucking idiot and who doesn't understand." Mm-hmm. Ulrich says he has to hurry and doesn't have much time before he's dead and buried. Yep. So,
and Egon seems very confused by all this. He can't figure out why Ulrich is talking about these things that have yet to happen. Of course, it's because Ulrich knows what happens to Egon, and it's this big cycle between them.
His fate may be to die as clueless as he was born.
Exactly.
Everybody gets what they deserve. The whole time, Ulrich was playing chess.
Mm. Yes. It was not against anybody else that we saw, right? Just playing chess? Just playing chess pieces?
Yep.
Yeah. I also, I was thinking when he says that you're going to die as clueless as you were born, that's like basically a cycle of like beginnings and endings, right? You come to the end of this loop where you are the exact same amount of clueless as you were when you were born.
Mm-hmm.
So we then go back to the Conwald house where Enis is worried about Mikkel because he's not come home yet. Finally, he walks in and I can understand why she would be worried since kids have disappeared in the town. And if Mikkel disappears, especially as Mikkel just kind of dropped into her life, that if Mikkel ever dropped out of her life, she probably was worried about that. And so to celebrate him being home, they're going to eat some toast Hawaii. Oh, I did. It is toast Hawaii. I've been calling it Hawaiian toast. It is toast Hawaii.
So I wrote down make Hawaiian delight.
Okay.
So I don't know what it, I don't know. I don't think it's very important though.
No.
Either way, it makes her dad dance like Elvis. Mikkel asks Enis if she believes in God. And she goes, mm-hmm. Like the thing you say when you want to say yes, but you don't really mean yes.
Mm,
so like she did not say yes. She went, mm-hmm. And like kind of gives a flat smile. Asks if she thinks he has a plan. Enis says, yeah, because that's how you came to be true. So, and his plan is for me to take care of you. Mikkel then, has kind of looks down and there's thunderstorm rolling. So again, I think this all relates back to us having like the subject of them having to believe certain untruths in order for their own story to work.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think that. So yeah, she still calls him Mikkel, which I think is interesting because at some point Mikkel is going to start going by Michael. But you would think that Mikkel is kind of an unusual name.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it is. So
yeah, when does Mikkel become Michael?
Right. When does Mikkel call Mikkel? And also, when does she accept that, you know, by calling him Mikkel, she's, you know, she's not quite fully believing into him being somebody different. I think that just kind of represents her, her denial of the situation.
I was just going to say how Enis mentions that some days are worth forgetting. So it kind of shows how Enis often believes that the best way to deal with the truth is by trying to forget it. Like avoidance. With
Enis. That's true. Yeah. She does mention that about,
so it probably
her day with Katarina's birthday.
So it probably also relates to her with her child who died shortly after birth. Maybe they didn't die, just disappeared. And she's like, oh yeah, he died.
True.
Her child is probably Mads, who became Mikkel, who became Mikkel.
Something like that. Yeah, it could be. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened to her child, but that's something we need to not forget, because I think that is a key point we will come back to with the story of Enis, who her father was and then who her disappearing child was.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then we see Jonas in a cage in the future. He's been shot in the leg and he was also hanged. We see Scarface enter. She's got one of those futuristic lamps. And she sneaks him out, and then they sneak into the dead zone together, going through the forest, much like we see many other characters. So, then we go back to the present. The present being 2020. We've got Charlotte in HG's store. She walks into his store, which has been shut down. She walks past that grandfather clock that I'm always noticing. Mm-hmm. Check the time on that. It looked like it was 1:06 approximately, because it was like both hands were shortly past the one on that clock. So I don't know if there's any significance there. As she's there waiting for Peter to arrive, which we will see shortly, then we get like a montage where we're seeing lots of things happen. The first thing that we see is we see the stranger and Hannah arrive at the Conwald house, and through the window they can see Mikkel and Enis having fun eating Hawaiian toast, and Hannah recognizes that this is Mikkel, this is the boy who disappears, and realizes that the man that she was married to was Mikkel all along.
Mm-hmm. So, he sees Enis and Mikkel, right?
You mean, yes, Enis and Hannah.
Mikkel. Okay. Yeah. You said Hannah and Mikkel.
Oh, so the stranger and Hannah see Enis and Mikkel. And I did note that I don't know the name of any actors' names in this show, because I really try not to look at any cast list just for any spoilers. But I will say the actress who plays Hannah, I think her acting in this scene was really phenomenal. Just when she realizes who Mikkel was and who Mikkel is, I thought it was just like, I could really, really empathize with that reaction that she had. And I thought that was some of the best acting we've seen on the show. Then we go to Egon and Ulrich. We see them quickly. We see Peter arriving at the store. He has a flashlight, as does Charlotte. And that flashlight, they show a split screen, so we're also seeing the helicopter in the future with the light. And we see all of the people in the future as well. They're looking for the particle. All of the people in the future, meaning Jonas and Scarface. I just worked on future people. And then we're seeing the 80s version of Claudia. She's getting home and she's looking at the map and the blueprints, and she's starting to dig up the machine. And this was what Claudia gave her the map for, because Claudia, 30 years before that house is even built, buries the machine into the ground and then maps it and writes it down to give to Claudia, so Claudia can someday dig it up. That's a very fun loop for that machine. So we do see that machine then is buried for 30 years. So if we're tracking different machines, that one is buried for 30 years. And this reminded me of one of the last episodes of Room 104 that I've seen, which was Room 104 is like an anthology show where each episode takes place in the same hotel room. And they do have an episode that takes place before the hotel was built. And it's like in the spot where this room in the hotel will end up being. And I don't know, I just got like Room 104 vibes from that burying scene. So, I don't know. Nothing. There's no connection. I just thought it was interesting. And then we close out, but going back to 2053, Jonas puts the fuel into the machine and he says that this is our way to get home. Although it's not Scarface's way to get home that we know of. We don't know where Scarface is from. And he says, doesn't matter whether I die or not in there. None of that matters. And then finally he stabilizes the particle or the portal and enters into the portal, and then the episode ends. So
No.
We know that. I'm pretty sure the portal sends Jonas back to the 20s, I think is what happens. But he thinks that it's going to take him back to his present timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he thinks that he'll be able to stop the apocalypse, but he just because he knows there's an apocalypse coming, he thinks he can stop it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but the next episode, we're going to get the Adam and Jonas face-to-face meeting. And I think we're going to get some big reveals from that. So, anything else that you want to mention about this episode?
No, I think it's a it's like kind of like the second part of the setup for the season here. Right. Where it gets the rest of the characters, sets into motion a lot of the questions I could answer later in the season.
Yep. So, episode 3 of season 2 is called Ghosts, which is interesting because of the conversation that we had in this episode between Regina and Alexander about ghosts and their family's demons and devils.
Yep.
So, speaking of their family's devils, Regina's mother, Claudia, is known as the White Devil. So,
right.
Yeah, lots of talk about ghosts and demons, both literally and symbolically.
Yeah.
All right, so we will be back with our next episode talking about episode number 3 of season 2, that is Ghosts. If you're listening along and you want to give us any feedback, we might be able to get it on the next episode, but we definitely are going to try to do like a big feedback preview show with questions that we've gotten in before the third season starts. So you can reach us on Twitter. I am at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
And make sure that you're subscribed so that you know each time one of our episode rewatches drops as we get closer to the third season coming out. And if you have friends that are trying to catch up on Dark before they're trying to remember what happened in Dark before the third season comes out, we hope this podcast is a really good way for people to do that and put the pieces in order. So we'd love for you to share and subscribe and tell your friends about our podcast.
Yep.
And if you know anybody watching for the first time, I actually have a friend who texted me. He kind of looks like Jonas, to be honest. More looks like the Stranger. He texted me and said that he's starting to watch Dark, and he said, "Oh, should I Google what's going on this?" And I said, "Do not Google anything about this show. I'm like, you will definitely get spoiled if you Google anything." I said, "If you have questions about Dark, just ask me, but do not look anything up on the internet."
Yeah, I agree.
So anybody who's listening at this point knows that. But yeah, hopefully Dark gets a big contingent on board for the third and final season and closes things out strong.
Yeah, it seems that more people, I guess that's how any show works, but it seems like more people than ever are talking about it.
Well, this is a great time. There's not a ton of new content right now too, so it's like people can really dive into the show.
And Parasite has happened now, so the general audience isn't afraid of subtitles.
True. So all right, well, we'll be back with Ghost episode 3 season 3, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Yep, see ya. Oh,